I told people at the end of that sermon that they needed to be in Christ in order to be saved. Down through the years since then, I have continued to be convinced that the only way of salvation is in Christ Jesus, and teach exactly the same thing on that point that I taught in the first sermon I ever preached. Are we right in drawing that conclusion? Must one be in Christ in order to be saved? We're living at a time, even in the country that is called a Christian nation, where many people do not believe that. There are many people today who would suggest that Jesus is a Savior, but would not agree that He is the Savior. There are those who would place Him on the same level with other people who have lived, some suggesting that Jesus is a prophet, but that also Muhammad, for example, is a prophet, and that there is a way of salvation through either of these. As one looks at the entire world and thinks about what's going on, he comes to realize that there are people today who believe that there is a way to have some kind of salvation in an eternity that has nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus Christ. We are involved in supporting people and sometimes going ourselves to other parts of the world to tell people that they need Christ. Would there be any need for us to do that if there is salvation in some other way? I remember also when I was a very young person, at least one man who lived in our community who continued to say that he was all right for the eternity because he was a good moral person. He was living a decent life. He was not hurting anybody, and so he thought he would be saved. I began to wonder then, and I think I understand it better now, that if that be the case, God made a terrible mistake in sending His Son from heaven to die on the cross. Because if there is salvation outside of Christ, what would have been the need for Christ to come? Even today, occasionally at least, there are some preachers who are associated with the New Testament church who are beginning to say that maybe one doesn't have to be baptized into Christ to be saved. Maybe there is salvation somewhere else. And I suggest to you that it is time for us to rethink this idea, to see whether or not we are right in what we are teaching. It is already evident in our service this morning that we continue to believe that salvation is only in Christ. As Larry led our minds at the Lord's table, he included a statement, something to this effect, that we appreciate and thank God for the blood of Jesus where salvation is. And a moment ago, as Bruce led us in prayer, at least once in that prayer, he led us as we thank God that we have Christ as our salvation and as our Savior. Must we be in Christ in order to be saved? Is He just a Savior, or is He the Savior? Notice first, if you're following the outline that is on the back of the worship bulletin, 9 different scriptures that are given that include the words "in Christ." I know that this list is not exhaustive. It's not intended to be. You probably can think of other ideas that are associated with the subject. But at least 9 that I think of are mentioned where it tells us that all of these are in Christ. Ephesians 3:6 says the promise of God is in Christ. God certainly has made some wonderful promises. He has promised us the possibility of eternal salvation, but this passage says that that promise of God is in Christ. Later in that chapter, at verse 11, Paul describes the eternal purpose of God, and he says, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That purpose is described in that chapter as having been in the mind of God even before the beginning of the worlds. But after he talks about all of it and how it is now revealed to us, he says that it was in Christ. The very purpose that God had for all things is said to be in Christ. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The pronoun whom in that verse refers back to Christ, and so he says in Christ, we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. The Bible clearly states that both of those are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, 19, he says that we have hope in Christ. He approaches it from the standpoint, if it's only in this life, we would be of all men most miserable. But in the context, he is showing that there is more to it than just this life, and that our hope is in Christ. In John 1 verse 4, the Bible says that we have life in Christ, and that life is the light of all men. 2 Timothy 2:10 says that we obtain salvation in Christ. And of course, that's the real subject that we're talking about today, the subject of salvation. Must we be in Christ to be saved? This one particularly says salvation is in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. In Christ, there is no condemnation, meaning that we're able to take care of that which would otherwise condemn us, sin. And in Christ, there is no condemnation. If we continue to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, if we continue to walk in Him. And Galatians 3:28 says, there is complete unity in Christ. There's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, there's neither Jew nor Greek, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, there are nine ideas, concepts, at least these nine presented in the Bible. And in each of these, it says that what we're talking about is found in Christ. The promise, the purpose, redemption or remission of sins. And I think we even passed by Ephesians 1:3 that says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19, hope is in Christ, life is in Christ, salvation is in Christ. That's where we receive forgiveness, therefore have no condemnation. All of these, along with the unity of Galatians 3:28, are said to be in Christ. But not only does the Bible say that these are in Christ, but the idea is presented that they are only in Christ. Only in Christ. Nowhere else. And let me just slow down long enough to ask you, do you know of anywhere else that we can find any of those ideas that are presented in those verses that we have just reviewed? Are you aware of anywhere else that we can find, for example, the forgiveness of sins other than in Christ and through His blood? John 3:16 is called the little Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice the next verse. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now notice those words, world through Him. That's everybody. That the world through Him might be saved. If there was salvation before Christ, then God sending Christ would have brought condemnation to some, because I think we would all agree that some today will not be saved. If there was salvation in some way before God sent His Son, why did He send His Son? John 3:17 says He sent His Son that the world through Him might be saved. That suggests to us that salvation is only in Jesus. In Ephesians 2:11 and 12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, those that he's just described as being outside of Christ and outside of God and having no hope, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He goes ahead in the next few verses and shows how the death of Christ broke down the middle wall of partition, and God has reconciled both unto himself in one body by the cross. All of this is in Christ. And there's such a contrast drawn between verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians 2. At that time, you were lost. But now, in Christ Jesus, and I know nowhere else that that can happen. In Christ Jesus. And then a bit more conclusive in Acts 4 and 12, listen to this statement. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, even in the backwoods of Middle Tennessee, people understand that statement. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, if we did not have another verse of Scripture, that verse would tell us the truth on the subject. There just isn't salvation anywhere else. There is no other name. There is no other way except in Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. And then back to our text, especially John 14, 6. We tend to remember the first three verses of John 14. They are so comforting to us, especially when we've lost loved ones. But listen to verse 6. Jesus did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Now here's the clincher. And I don't see how anybody can misunderstand this one. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Must one be in Christ to be saved? Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but by me. These verses are conclusive that we must be in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Now, having seen what is in Christ and that these are only in Christ, here are three extremely important statements that are proven by the Word of God and yet come out of just common sense. If salvation is in Christ, you and I must die in Christ. Paul talked about that death in Philippians 1 and said it would be far better for him to leave this earth and go to be with Christ, along about verse 21 and the verses that follow. And then John, in that verse that so many of us remember of Revelation 14, 13, said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their works, or rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. That is the one moment for which all of us ought to live. If you die in the Lord, heaven is guaranteed. If you die in the right relationship with your Lord, with Christ, you won't ever have to worry about anything else. And so, in a sense, the goal of every one of us should be to die in the Lord. Several years ago, a man who had been a missionary to Korea for many years died in his 80s. He died in Nashville. And people were consoling his widow, extending their sympathy, as the case should be. But as they were, here is a statement that she made. I've never forgotten this statement. She said, this is the day for which he lived. He lived to die in the Lord. And that statement suggests the second point that is so important, and that is, if we're going to die in the Lord, the only way we can be sure to die in the Lord is to live in the Lord. We ought to walk in Him, Colossians 2:6 says. And Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And it seems to me particularly important to emphasize this as we come to the end of 1999 and get ready for the year 2000, if God permits this world to continue. Because so many are predicting that the end may be near, and because also of the suddenness of death that we see around us every day, even an example this week of unexpected death in the wee hours of the morning, we need to come to this realization that we need to live in Christ and we need to be ready. The only way that you can die in Christ is to live in Christ. And the third idea associated with this important concept is, if you're going to die in Christ, you must live in Christ. And if you're going to live in Christ, you must get into Christ. You can't live somewhere unless you're there. There's not a one of you today who would try to live in another city without going to that city, without moving to that city. And so if we're going to live in Christ, we've got to move into Him. We've got to get into Him in order to live in Him, in order to die in Him, to receive the blessings that are in Him. Now, that's just about as simple as you can get. But the idea is about as profound as it can be. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Romans 6:3. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. In Acts 19, they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. When I take the Bible and look at the concept of into Christ, into His body, into His name, into His death, in every case, it's baptized into. There are only two places of which I'm aware in this Bible that the word into immediately precedes Christ. And we just noticed those in Romans 6 and Galatians 3. And the word just before into is baptized. There's only one place in this Bible of which I'm aware that the word into is immediately before the word body, representing the church. There may be others that the idea is there. But in 1 Corinthians 12:13, into His body and the word before into is baptized. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I'm not going to tell anybody that it may be okay not to do what the Bible says we're to do to get into Christ, where we're to live and die in order to be saved. We must die in Christ to be saved. We must live in Christ to die in Him, and we must get in Christ to live in Him. That's why we persuade people to be baptized into Christ. That's why we teach the plan of salvation of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. Not because we've come up with an idea, not because people have voted on this as a plan of salvation, but because that is exactly what the Bible teaches. And that's why we persuade people to live in Christ, and when they go astray, to receive forgiveness, to come back, and to keep things right so that we will be ready when death or the end of the world comes, whichever comes first. All blessings are in Christ. All spiritual blessings are only in Christ. We need to die in Christ, but to do that, we need to live in Christ, but to do that, we've got to get into Christ. Folks, the scene of Jesus in the manger is a beautiful scene. And the thought of Jesus on the cross is a sobering thought. But what really matters is, are you in Him and He in you. If not, you need to rush to him as together we stand and sing.
But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee, whose blood can cleanse.